We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from my home in Northfield, Minnesota.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from my office here at Ascension Lutheran, where I serve as pastor in South St. Louis.
And, yes, last time we had the our 100 seconds of dumb jokes in celebration of the 100th anniversary. But I left one out, and I left it out particularly because I thought this was actually a pretty funny joke. You have to kind of think about it a little bit. I like jokes, you have to kind of think about it. So let me share this with you, and then we'll move on to better things.
A first for Wrestling with the Basics, John, a funny joke. This is new territory for us.
Well, for me, I don't know, maybe. But again, you have to kind of think about it. The man who invented autocorrect passed away recently. Did you hear that, Matt? Did you read that?
Oh, okay. I did not. It's news to me.
Yeah, the guy that invented autocorrect, he died. His fun fair is on sundial at moon. Yes, his fun fair is on sundial at moon.
Oh, no. So if only we had autocorrect.
yes, yeah. So anyway, that kind of tickled me. So I thought that was worth sorting out from the others. But I want to get going right away here because you said to me, you texted me, and you said you wanted to talk about what, Matt?
Well, first, John, I think you know your definition of what's funny, I think, is a little different from other people. You really need to run these past Lynn before
before
you do. Oh, jeez. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. Okay, I'm over it.
All right.
Yeah, so yes. Thank you, John. Yes.
Fun fair at sundial at moon. Okay. In case
I'll
you're wondering.
Put that on my calendar.
Put that on your calendar.
Oh boy. So when we're ready to record Wrestling with the Basics, here is how we prepare. For Wrestling with the Basics, I'm going to draw back the curtain so people can see the behind-the-scenes work that we do. We labor away. Here's how we prepare. John sends me a text that says, "What do you want to do?" I write back what I'm planning to do, and he usually says, "Sounds good." That's about the extent of our coordination for Wrestling with the Basics. But maybe you can tell that as listeners. I don't know. But.
I don't think that surprises them at all.
But this past time, what do you want to do? And I said, I'd like to talk about the Song of the Three Young Men.
I just okay, whatever that is, I'll go for it. I'm sure I've heard that before. But honestly, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I don't think many people do, and that's okay. So what where is this coming from? So we haven't talked about this much on Wrestling with the Basics, but over the summer months here at Ascension, we've been engaged in a sermon series that we came up with where we've called it Going Around the World in 8 Hymns.
Oh, okay.
So we've used our hymnal, Lutheran Service Book. Which is a very multicultural hymn book. The hymns are have original languages from, I think it's well over 20 different languages that these hymns came from. And we've been just going around the world and using hymns in our hymnal, highlighting them from different places, China and Germany and the United States, of course, Brazil, Australia, Ireland, Kenya. And our last stop was this past weekend, and we were in Jamaica.
Really?
Believe it or not.
We heard the Kenya one. We were actually on our way to Gulf Shores, and we needed a way to worship in the car. And so we listened to your service, and we heard that was the one. Listen, right? Listen.
Yeah, listen, God is calling. Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, well, thanks, John, for listening and tuning in. So there's a hymn in our hymnal that has a Jamaican tune, but the words are written by an American pastor, Steve Starkey, who served as a pastor up in Michigan, is retired now. But the hymn is "All You Works of God Bless the Lord."
Okay.
Really a catchy tune. So thank you, Jamaica. It's hymn number 930 in Lutheran Service Book. Our listeners can look it up if you have that hymnal at home or maybe in your church pew. So when you have these hymns in the hymnal, they give you a little information on the bottom. You know, it says where the music's from, and again, Jamaica, who wrote it, again, Stephen Starkey. And then this hymn has an extra little note, and it says, this hymn is a paraphrase of the Song of the Three Young Men. So then it got me, well, who are these three young men? Who are these guys? Do I know them? Are they pastors somewhere here in the Lutheran church or what?
I think in the 60s they were well known, the three young men.
You got the Four Seasons and you got the Three Young Men.
Yeah.
So looking into that a little more, John, it's kind of interesting, all right? These three young men are probably ones that we're familiar with because they are in the Bible, specifically in Daniel chapter 3. And as our listeners hear that, maybe they're starting to guess who they are. They're guys by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right? So let's look again at that account of those three guys, those three young men, and then I'll share with you where their song comes in. Where their song
okay,
comes
cool. In. Yeah, because I don't know that I've ever heard of that phrase before.
Well, I know. And don't feel bad because it's sort of an apocryphal song. We'll talk more about that in just a second.
Okay, cool.
But just to set the scene, the Israelites, some of them were taken, you know, they were the line of Judah, southern kingdom, taken over by Babylon. And Babylon chose kind of the youngest, the brightest, the best to be taken to Babylon. And among those were Daniel, but also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these are, the Bible shares with us in chapter 1 of Daniel, they're young men. We don't know how old they were for sure. Were they high school age, college age? You know, they're younger guys. They're good looking. It does tell us they're smart. Yeah, that's what the king was after, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And so God blesses them and their work, and they even have a place there in the king's court. But then things go south, John, because the king builds a statue, right? This statue of gold. And then we'll read about that account of how that affects guys like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So if we want to read Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, if you could just read chapter 3, verse 1, just the first verse for us.
Okay. So King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
All right. So this is an image of gold. It's an idol. All right. And it is big. So a cubit, cubit is kind of the span from the tip of your middle finger to your elbow. So it's about 18 inches. Yeah, exactly.
Or it's about a foot. 45 centimeters for the people that are listening to us in Europe.
That's very thoughtful of you, John.
Well, you know, that way they don't have to make the conversion we made.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. So it's for us Americans, it's about a foot and a half, right? So when you do the math, this image is about 9 feet wide and about 90 feet tall. This golden image.
Wow.
So it's like this tall as a 9-story building. And, you know, we also get this little detail. He sets it up on the plains. So that even adds, I think, to how striking this image looks, as everything's flat around it appears, except for this huge 9-story golden image. But that's bad news. Bad news, because it's not just there for aesthetic reasons. It's there to be, sadly, to be worshipped. And that's what King Nebuchadnezzar commands. So we see this command of King Nebuchadnezzar then. Well, let's go ahead and skip down to verse 4. And let's read about what takes place there, verse 4 and following.
You want me to go all the way through 7, Matt?
Well, yeah, there's a little repeat. You can gloss over some of the instrument names, but yeah, through verse 7.
Okay. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever who does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace."
And then, all right. Well, we can probably stop
people
there.
Hear it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, maybe this is familiar to us from Sunday school. Maybe we're hearing this for the first time for some of our listeners. But this image is set up. When music starts playing, then the command is everyone's supposed to bow down. It looks like they even gather all the people together in order to do this. So that's the plan. And there's a penalty if you don't do it. If you don't do it, they're going to be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. All right. So that's made clear. Okay.
So don't you wait. They love that. That it's not just a furnace. It's a fiery furnace. It's not just a fiery furnace. It's a burning, fiery furnace.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's exactly. I mean, I think the episode is, you know, it is hot. It's super hot,
yeah,
right?
This hot.
Is no small really thing.
Hot. It's not like summer in Florida, in St. Louis, but it's close.
It's close. It's almost as hot as summer in St. Louis.
Almost as hot as summer in St. Louis.
It's a dry heat, though, in that furnace. A dry heat.
That's right.
It's not as humid. All right. Yeah. So let's keep going. What did the three young men do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So verses 8 through 12.
"Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of—'" and you all know those things, "you should bow down and worship. And whoever does not fall down, you're going to be cast into," again, not just a furnace, but a burning, fiery furnace. "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." There you go.
All right. Certain Jews, they will not do this. Yeah. They do not serve your gods.
They envy them. That's what so they're apparently doing a really good job, and their fellow workers don't like the fact that they're doing so good.
Well, they're foreigners, right? They ain't from around here, and yet they're set up in as part of the king's court, even, it seems. You know, some of his advisors are over some of the affairs of the land, and now they even have the audacity to not obey the king, and they don't worship his golden image. So, yeah, they're out to get him, you know. And they do not hesitate, it seems, to report this to the king Nebuchadnezzar and tell on them, right? Bring it to his attention. So then the king Nebuchadnezzar drags them before him, and he questions them. You know, "Why are you not serving the gods, right? The gods, and specifically this idol that I've set up, right?" Then he gives them kind of an ultimatum. If you want to read verses 15 and 14, John, we've got more instruments named.
Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast not into just a furnace, but into the burning, fiery furnace. Yeah. "And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" That probably wasn't the right thing to say there at the end. Who is the God who will deliver you? Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, and this king who is probably worshipped as a god himself, right? And in that culture, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hand, right? So, you know, here you go. These three young guys, they're given a choice. Worship, you know, just bow down like everyone else and you'll be fine. If you don't, though, I'm going to throw you in a burning fiery furnace, and you're going to die. You picture maybe these 20-year-old guys just standing there. How are they going to answer? Well, here's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer verses 16 through 18.
Isn't this just a beautiful, this is just such a beautiful answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And I always love that response. We have no idea how it's all going to work out, but it doesn't make any difference because in the end, our God's going to take care of us. Whether he keeps us from being burnt up or not, you know, we're not going to serve any other God but him.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Yeah, we are going to worship Yahweh, the Lord, the one true God. He can deliver us. We know it. Yeah. We know it. But even if he doesn't, we're going to still trust in him and serve him. Wow. Well,
and doesn't that reflect the fact what we were talking about last week too, that we know whatever goes on here is not the end of everything. You know, it's not the end of everything. There's something much, much better that the Lord has in store for us. So whatever happens here, but it's not, none of it's a finality. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, again, you know, even that worry, anxiety in the face of death, then the Lord's in charge, right? He can deliver us, and And even if he doesn't deliver us from a physical death in this case, he'll deliver us. It seems they have this confidence from an eternal death that we will be in him, right? All right. Well, we think it's a beautiful answer, but King Nebuchadnezzar does not. It makes him so mad that he's as hot as his fiery furnace with anger. So if you want to read verses 19 through 23, John, and give us a quick overview.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and they were thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning, fiery furnace.
Yeah. So there's no doubt about it, right? You know, it's 7 times hotter. Those who brought them up even died because of the intense heat. If I remember right, the Hebrew word for furnace there really is kind of like the word for kiln, you know? So we think of a kiln used to heat pottery, right? Or make bricks.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of thing that they're being thrown into. So it does not look good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, we hear verses 24 and 25, and then I promise we'll get to the song of the 3 young men. But let's read these 2 verses first.
Well, I just want to point out, this is so hot that, as it said, the people that threw them in were already dead. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods."
Yeah, thanks, John. So here they are, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's looking into the furnace to see what happens, right? And they're walking around. He casts 3 into the furnace. He sees 4, right? The one looks like a son of the gods. It's like it's hard for him to explain even who this 4th one is, but he can tell it's special. And they're walking. Verse 25, it's just interesting. I see them, all 4 of them, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, right? So they're just kind of walking around in the fire, talking to each other, it seems. So it's right here that the Septuagint, we talked about this last week. So the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So Old Testament first written in Hebrew, then later translated into Greek. And the Septuagint then here includes the song that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sing in the fiery furnace. So I think that's pretty, that's just interesting.
Really?
So it's in the Roman Catholic Bible too. And you can find in the Septuagint, but there's the song that they sing while they're in the midst of the flames, which I think is remarkable.
That is remarkable. Especially when you remember the Septuagint, it's not a device into itself. It was a Greek translation of the Hebrew. So apparently at some point, there must have been a Hebrew text that also included this song. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have it in our Bibles, the English Standard Version that many of us use, you know, us Lutherans use, and the Lutheran Study Bible uses. It doesn't include it. And that's because, it was not in the original Hebrew. Okay. And we're sticking to that. But that is interesting that pretty early on included was the song of the three young men. So, you know, did they sing these actual words of the song? Well, perhaps so. And we even have hymns now in our hymnal based upon it. But the song of the three young men. So I'm going to share just a little bit of that with you, John.
Okay.
It's kind of a long song, so I'm not going to share the whole thing. But here, this is just interesting. So here's how it begins. It says this little detail I'll include here. Now the king's servants who threw them in did not cease feeding the furnace fires with pitch and brush, and the flames streamed out from the furnace 49 cubits. So it talks about how hot it was a little more, and it broke through and burned those of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who it caught about the furnace. So again, those who brought him in got burned. But the angel of the Lord came down into the furnace with Azariah and his companions. So that's another name for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But and drove the fiery flame out of the furnace and made the midst of the furnace like a moist whistling wind, so that the fire did not touch them or hurt them at all. So it's like, you know, they weren't even hot in the furnace. It kind of reminds me of Danny and the Lions. Then God closed the mouths of the lions to save him. And here we get this picture of God, you know, sending a cooling breeze to comfort them in the midst of the flames. But then here's the song. It says, then the three, as with one mouth, praised and glorified and blessed God in the midst of the furnace, saying... and it's a long song, but I'll just share some of it. Blessed art thou, O Lord, God of our fathers, and be praised highly exalted forever. Blessed is thy glorious holy name, to be highly praised and exalted forever. Blessed is thou in the temple of thy holy glory, to be extolled and highly glorified forever. So we have this refrain, after every line, to be praised and highly exalted forever. But the lines talk about, I'm just going to read some of those main lines. It says, bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Bless the Lord, you waters above the earth. Bless the Lord, all you powers. Bless the Lord, you sun and moon. Bless the Lord, your stores of heaven. Bless the Lord, you rain and dew. Bless the Lord, all winds. Bless the Lord, fire and heat. Imagine saying that in the midst of a fiery furnace.
Oh my, yeah.
And then it goes on and on and on. Bless the Lord, dews and snows, on and on. Until finally it ends with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Okay. But it's remarkable that they sing this song where they bless and praise the Lord in the midst of the flames of fire. And how can they do that? You know, and it's, you know, they bless the Lord because, well, the Lord first bless them, right? He saved them. He preserved their life, this act of deliverance, even in the midst of flames. And so all they can do is sing and bless the Lord. So anyway, any thoughts, John? I just think that's kind of cool. That's that idea of them blessing the Lord and singing in the midst of the fire.
And I think it segues really well with what we had last week about the fact that there are fears, and certainly there's nothing more fearful than to be thrown into a fire that's so hot that people even get close to it and they get burned up. And yet we talked about how God makes his promises and people responded also then with praise to him. I like the fact that they're doing it right in the midst of it, because somehow they've come to understand that God, well, they understand because it's actually happening right before their eyes, that God is preserving them in the midst of all this trial and struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that fourth one in the fire, you know, it's an angel or, you know, an angel of the Lord. And it seems, you know, most scholars think, well, this is even Jesus himself, you know, before he's incarnate, before he takes on flesh, right? And is born of Mary, obviously, but still this is God himself present with them in the midst of the flames. And, you know, I just think of, you know, our own lives and, you know, the figurative fiery furnaces that we encounter, right? All kinds of, you know, worry and suffering and sickness and even death. And yet, you know, the Lord doesn't promise to save us from those things. He doesn't promise to save us from fiery trials in this life, in this fallen world. But he most certainly does promise to be with us in the midst of those fiery times, right? In the midst of those worries and sicknesses and even death itself. That's his promise. And because of that, we can face those things and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, no matter what, you know, because he is with us. He preserves us. He has first blessed us, right, in Jesus Christ, the one who came into this fiery furnace of the world, right, to save us and even take God's, the fire of the cross and his Father's wrath upon himself to deliver us. And I guess my final thought, John, was just you read on then what happens, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he sees this all take place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fiery furnace, and verse 28, if you could just read that, John, for us, what King Nebuchadnezzar does.
Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God."
Yeah, so, you know, so here King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know his heart, but he seems to have somewhat of a change of heart and recognizes with awe and wonder that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who's also our God, right? The one true God, the Lord, has delivered them, right? No one could do this except, you know, their God. So I just think of the witness that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were to still bless the Lord in the midst of that fire, and how we can be a witness too, that in the midst of those fiery trials of life, as we still trust in the Lord and even bless the Lord rather than curse him, right? What a witness that is to others around us, so that they too might know that they might know our God, that they might know Jesus, the one who delivers us, the one who's first blessed us.
And I think that's the thing that we need to note in this, because sometimes, and they recognize that maybe God wouldn't deliver them from the fire. They acknowledge that. And sometimes God doesn't. But in this particular case, it was not just that they would be saved, but that even a King Nebuchadnezzar might come to faith. So it's important for us to remember, if God is preserving us, it is, as you said, because he wants to testify to his faithfulness and love for all men. Well, thank you for listening. This, again, has been another episode of Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.